For those of you that are listening, what we do here at some point in time in the service, usually we have a lady who will come up and the kids will come up and have just a few minutes, what you might call a children's devotion or children's message, what have you. And this morning, what happened was the lady doing this, she laid her hands on each of the children and spoke over them, made a declaration over them. And it really fits into what we want to cover today. I want you to get your Bibles and open up first to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. I'm going to deal with something this morning, and I'm going to show you so much out of the Word that can have a positive and a negative impact on your life as a Christian. Throughout Scripture, we see God separating people. Now, for example, He separated the Jews from Egypt. He separated, Jacob and Esau. I mean, we see division throughout Scripture. And there's a division within our own lives, a separation, if you will, that's going to be very important for us. And if you look here, first off, in Mark chapter 4, in verse 14, Jesus said the sower soweth the word. Okay. Now, we need to understand more about the sower sowing the word. We've heard a lot of sermons about this. But in verse 15, he says, "And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts." So what we have then, for the sake of this teaching, is one person sowing words into another person's life. Now jump down to verse 24. "Take heed what ye hear. With what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you, and unto you that hear shall more be given." But we want to focus on the first part of that where it says, "Take heed what ye hear." So we have a sower sowing words. Then we have an instruction, "Take heed what you hear." Therefore, from God's perspective, it is extremely important that we understand exactly what it is we are hearing when people speak. Do you understand this? Now look over in Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. Now, Jesus is teaching, and he says in verse 43, "For a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit." And we say, well, okay, I know that. I understand that. "For every tree is known by his own fruit. For of the thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes." Then he gets here in verse 45 to the heart, the focus of what he's talking about. "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh." So what do we have? Well, we have people who are speaking. And Jesus has already said, "Take heed what you hear." Then he says, let me help you understand this a little bit more. You have some folks that have evil in their heart. Then you have some folks that have a good treasure in their heart. And out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Now, whether or not you realize this, every human being you come in contact with is speaking to you out of the abundance of their heart. And there's only one of two things that's coming out. Evil fruit or good fruit. Now let's take a look at this a little bit further. Turn over to Psalm chapter 19. We want to see some things in Scripture right here at the beginning that identify God's perspective in this, if you will, or God's desires. In Psalm chapter 19, Take a look here at verse 14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Now God has said, take heed what you hear. The sower is going to sow the word. With respect to this message, the sower may be sowing good, or the sower may be sowing bad. But the sower is sowing. And every time you get with somebody and you start having a conversation with them, you need to understand they have become a sower in your life. Every time. No exception. The moment they open their mouth and begin to speak, they have become a sower in your life. And Jesus says, you better take heed what you hear. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the sower is sowing into your life. And you've got bad fruit sowers and good fruit sowers. And God says, but now let me give you some ideas here of what I'm looking for, or the standards that you ought to be living by. These are the things that I approve of. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. So now let's think for a moment. What meditations of my heart and what words of my mouth would be acceptable in the sight of God? Anything that lines up with what He has said. Doesn't matter what it is. Anything that lines up with what He has said. Anything that lines up with what He has established. Now I'm not talking about quoting Scripture. I am talking about whatever you speak lining up with what He has said. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Or in other words, Father, whatever I meditate on, whatever I speak, let this be so acceptable that I could stand before your throne of grace and meditate out loud all these things. Speak these things before your throne of grace. It will get your approval. This is what God wants. This is the way it's supposed to be. Let's look at a few more. We're going to be in the book of Proverbs a lot today. Look over in Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2. And we'll look here at the beginning of this. Begin in verse 1. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, where am I going to hide them? The words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart. So that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then thou shalt understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of His mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. Now, what's God saying right here? Now, listen closely to this. What He's saying is, you don't have to live your life believing that it's impossible to understand all of my word. Think about this. He says, look, if you'll come to me, if you will receive my words and hide my commandments, my instructions, my standards in you, incline your ear to me. Apply your heart to understanding. Yeah, if you cry out for knowledge and lift up your voice for understanding, then you know what? Verse 5, you're going to understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Not just come to the place of know God, but you will experience and comprehend the knowledge of God. Or in other words, the knowledge that God has, He will be able then to reveal these things unto you. Which goes along in part with what Paul talked about in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, where he's talked about how, you know, the mysteries that were hid, but now they're being revealed unto us. And so God says, look, if you'll do this, this is what I want. Here will be the results. You will get knowledge. You will get understanding. Put another way, you're not going to live your life in confusion. It won't happen. I'm just confused about what God wants me to do in life. He says, well, here's your answer. Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 through 6, I can tell you how to settle that. This is my standard. This is how it's supposed to be. Now, turn over to Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. Why? Because out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Now hold on here for a moment. Let me just point something out to you real quickly. They're life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. If those words are life to those that find them, and health to their flesh, do you think it's a benefit to me to be around somebody who is going to speak out of the abundance of the heart when the words of their heart, the meditations of their heart, are the words of God? What that means is when they speak to me, they are going to be speaking life and health into my life. They will be sowing these words. See this? He says, keep thy heart with all diligence, or guard your heart, protect your heart. Why? Because that's the soil wherein the words are sown. Guard your heart, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Now look here in verse 24. Put away from thee a froward mouth and perverse lips, put far from thee. Well, now let's think for a moment. If I'm doing verses 20, 21, 22, and 23, and I'm attending to His words, and I'm not departing from His sayings, and I keep them in the midst of my heart, and I have His words in my heart, and I'm guarding my heart, and all this other, then verse 24, for the sake of this teaching, who is it that has the froward mouth and the perverse lips? If I have sown into my heart the words of God, and out of the abundance of my heart, my mouth is speaking the wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and words of God, then I'm not the one with the froward mouth or the perverse lips. You see this? Now, I understand He is speaking about me. Keep that away from me. Me not have the froward mouth. Me not have the perverse lips. What is a froward mouth? A mouth that speaks... Here's one way to define it. A mouth that speaks confusion relative to the things of God. A mouth that speaks contradiction relative to the things of God. A mouth that speaks those things which are unstable relative to the things of God. What are perverse lips? Well, simply put, perverse lips are lips out of which come things which do not line up with the Word of God. Okay? Now let's look at another place here. I mean, this is God's standard, you know, right? He's telling me right here to do with His words and keep them in my heart. Look in Proverbs chapter 11, in verse 14. Where no counsel is, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors there is safety. Now, I know a lot of people have used this verse to talk about church government, and you've got to have this kind of a staff and so on and so forth, but we're going to look at this verse a little bit differently today. It says, where no counsel is, the people fall. Now, what counsel do you think God's talking about? His counsel. Godly counsel. But then He says, but in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. In the multitude of those who have counsel, there is safety. Let me rephrase it. In the multitude of those who have sown the Word of God into their hearts, and out of the abundance of my Word that has been sown in their hearts, their mouth is speaking. They are the people, the counselors that you need surrounding you, because the only thing that they're going to speak into your life are the things of me, my Word, my standard, my holiness, my righteousness, my will, my declarations, everything that I have spoken. And there is safety in the midst of that kind of counsel. You need people, these kind of counselors, in your life continually. Look at another place. Proverbs chapter 16. And again, this is God's standard. God is telling you right now, where there is no counsel, you will be messed up. But in a multitude of counselors, those who have the counsel, there is safety. I don't need non-counselors in my life. In Proverbs chapter 16, look here in verse 23. The heart of the wise teacheth his mouth and addeth learning to his lips. If I'm walking in wisdom, here's what I'm going to do. I will teach, or I will speak out of that wisdom. The things that come out of my mouth will only speak godliness, godly wisdom, godly standards into your life, and addeth learning to his lips. I will continue to sow, if I'm walking in this wisdom, I will continue to sow these things of the Word of God. I will continue to sow into my life the standard of God's Word. Look in one more place. Proverbs chapter 22. And in Proverbs 22, begin reading in verse 17. Bow down thine ear and hear the words of the wise and apply thine heart unto my knowledge. Because wise, the words of the wise are going to be speaking his knowledge. He says, for it is a pleasant thing if thou keep them within thee. They shall withal be fitted in thy lips. So I keep sowing into my heart the Word of God. I keep having the Word sown into my life, and that becomes my meditation. Then what happens is they become that which, put it like this, my lips are now formed around the words of God or the will of God as I am speaking. He says, that thy trust may be in the Lord. I have made known to thee this day, even to thee. Now look what he says here. Bow your ear to the words of the wise, apply your heart to my knowledge. It is a pleasant thing if thou keep them within thee. They shall withal be fitted in thy lips. Well, why is that so important, God? Here's why. That thy trust may be in me. In other words, if you don't do this, then your trust is going to be in something else, regardless of what you think. We'll get into that here in just a few moments. And he says, have I not written to thee excellent things in counsels and knowledge, that I might make thee know the certainty of the words of truth, that thou mightest answer the words of truth to them that send unto thee? In other words, he's saying, look, you need to give attention to the things of my word. You need to give attention to the things that I have said, my standards and so forth. These are the things that need to be sown into you. Because when you do this, your trust will be in me. Then, when people come into your life, the thing that you speak will be my will, my standard, my declaration, the words of knowledge, the words of wisdom, the words of my truth, the words of everything that I am to you. In other words, they're going to come to you, and when you engage in a conversation with them, the things that they need to hear are going to be the things that will cross your mouth. Now, the opposite of this is just as true. If you don't do this, attend to His words, then you're not going to be able to give the counsel to somebody that they need. You can't. How can you give counsel to somebody when you don't have it yourself? How? I'll clue you in. You know how to figure it out real fast where people are coming from? When you come to them and you start having a conversation, and they look at you and say, well, I don't know, but I'll tell you what I think. In other words, there's an instability in them. Now, everything we've seen so far, these are the standards of God. God is telling us, this is what you need to do. Here's what you need to sow into your life. Here's what you need to speak. These are the standards of God. This is the way that God wants it for us. Now what we want to do is take a look at some warnings that He has given to us. We're going to stay here in Proverbs, but go back to Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs chapter 10. Look here in verse 11. The mouth of a righteous man is a well of life. See that? However, violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. You say, well, now hold on a minute, Brother Martin. You know, what do you mean violence covereth the mouth? This word violence, it doesn't simply mean beating somebody up. This word violence comes from a Hebrew word, and it means confusion, contradiction, conflict, discomfort. It means a dissettlement. In other words, things that are spoken cause a dissettling on the inside of the person, whether they know it or not. And he says, well, yeah, but, you know, Brother Martin, it says the violence cover the mouth of the wicked. I mean, what do you mean wicked? Now, let's think. If you go around speaking anything that contradicts what God has established in His Word, is God going to call that a righteous thing? See, guys, you know what one of the biggest problems in the body of Christ is? We have been lulled into a sense of complacency to where we just flat out don't have any standards of right or wrong in our lives. Well, I'm not committing adultery. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about every jot and tittle of the things of God. And we've come to the place to where we will compromise just so we can put a smile on somebody else's face, just so we can make somebody happy. You need to understand. And see, this is what gets a lot of preachers in trouble, not with God, but with people. When a preacher stands up and says, you just don't understand. When you are speaking in opposition to the things of God's Word, God considers what you're doing as wicked.
Well, I'm not wicked.
God considers what you're doing as being wicked. And this is where we struggle. We can't see how in the world that God would look down and say, well, that's wicked because God loves me. I'm a Christian. I'm born again. I can even speak in tongues. Hallelujah. Why, I believe in healing and I believe in all these things. Yeah, but if what you're saying contradicts what God has said, He calls it wicked. You're in that category. Well, I disagree. Find something in Scripture that says otherwise. And I'm telling you now, this is one of the reasons why a lot of Christians are living their lives in turmoil. It's because they're surrounded by wicked people. Christians. Believers. We're not talking about the world, alright? They're born again, but according to this standard that we're talking about today, they are wicked. And they're speaking wickedness into your life. Let's look forward. Look in verse 14. Wise men lay up knowledge. Now, we've already read about that. But the mouth of the foolish is near destruction. In other words, this foolish person is speaking these things that contradict the words of God, and this person's mouth is over here on the side of destruction, despair, and discord, while the foolish person continues to sow the words of God, and their mouth is far from destruction, meaning the fool is going to speak destruction into your life. But the person who's righteous is only going to speak the words of truth, wisdom, and righteousness into your life. But the fool is going to speak the destruction. Let's look at another place here. Proverbs chapter 11. Look at verse 9. A hypocrite with his mouth destroyeth his neighbor, but through knowledge the just shall be delivered. You say, well, Brother Martin, I'm not a hypocrite. Are you sure? Yes, I'm sure, Brother Martin, I'm not a hypocrite. Will you believe in God? Yes, I believe in God. You believe in the Bible? Yes, I believe in the Bible. You believe everything in the Bible? Yes, I believe everything in the Bible. You stand upon the Word of God? Yes, I stand upon the Word of God. That's your foundation. That's my foundation. Hallelujah. Well, how are you doing? Oh, Brother Martin, everything stinks. Everything's lousy. I'm telling you, it couldn't get any worse. I'm telling you, I mean, it's just like God ain't nowhere to be found. It's just you're a hypocrite. You are a hypocrite. Don't you tell me that God has forgotten. Don't you even color your words to the point to where you're not actually saying God has forgotten me, but what you're saying is God has forgotten me. You hypocrite! Who do you think you are? The Bible says He never leaves and He never forsakes, and you're talking like He left you a mile behind. And God says right here, look at this. A hypocrite with his mouth destroyeth his neighbor. Now, how is this hypocrite destroying his neighbor? Because when you stand up and you start telling people how lousy everything is, how God isn't doing you right and everything else, you know what I mean when I say this. We don't say it directly that way, but that's what we say. And that's what other people say. I don't say it. Hope you don't say it. Not some of you. Never mind. You're a hypocrite, and you are speaking destruction into your life. And you know what compounds this? Is when you sit there and let it happen. In a few minutes, I'm going to share with you a vision God gave me of this very thing. He says, a hypocrite with his mouth destroyeth his neighbor, but through knowledge shall the just be delivered. What knowledge? All that we talked about earlier relative to the verses we looked at, God's standards. God, what God is saying. Look over in Proverbs chapter 12, verse 18. There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. There is that, or it's King Jamesy, there are those who speak, and when they speak, their words are like the piercings of a sword. But on the other hand, the tongue of the wise is health. You say, what are you talking about here? Well, it should be pretty obvious. But, you know, there are some people, I wouldn't care what my physical condition is. I would never tell them what I'm going through. There's no way.
Well, Brother Martin, how are you doing? You look pretty bad.
Well, Brother Jones, I'm doing pretty, you know, and then right about then you think, well, I'm going to test them. Well, Brother Jones, let me tell you, I praise God, I'm winning the victory over a gizzard infection.
Oh, Brother Martin, you got a gizzard infection. That's not good.
I didn't say I had a gizzard infection. What I said is I'm winning a victory over a gizzard infection. I'm confessing victory, and this person is confessing a gizzard infection in my life. Do you see what I mean? It's so subtle. But we are so dull of spiritual sense, we don't pick up on this. The one thing I don't want is somebody confessing a gizzard infection in my life. But this person, you know, he's going to walk off. He'll start telling people,
well, Brother Martin, he's struggling with a bad, bad gizzard infection. I tell you, I hope it don't turn into cancer. He ain't talking much, but I've heard of these things.
Well, then this person, they heard it. Well, you know, Brother Martin, I heard Brother Jones say, Brother Martin, he's got a bad, bad gizzard infection. Doctors say it may be cancer. Well, by the time this thing is over, you got ladies at home fixing fried chicken and apple pies for my funeral.
I didn't know it was that bad. I just didn't know that it was that bad.
And the whole thing is, I don't even have a gizzard. Do you see what I'm saying? And he says right here, these are the people, when they speak, it's like they're piercing a sword into you and bringing destruction. But the mouth of the wise speaks health. I'm winning a battle over a gizzard infection. Well, praise God, by Jesus' stripes you are healed. Those are the counselors I want in my life. You hear me? Those are the people I want around me, speaking to me. Let's look at another place here. Do you understand God's warning you here about people whose lips speak sword-piercing words? Look over in Proverbs 13. Verse 3, he that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, or guards his mouth is establishing life. But he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. That phrase, openeth wide his lips, means a person that speaks without consideration of anything he's saying. The person that just opens the mouth and just lets it fly. You been around people? I'm not talking about cussing. You understand what I mean? And he's saying you need to understand that these people shall have destruction. You know what they're doing? They're speaking destruction into your life. You want those kind of people around you? Sad thing is, a bunch of you have people like that around you. They are speaking destruction into your life. Look over in Proverbs chapter 15. In verse 2, the tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of the fools poureth out foolishness. You've been around people like that. Well, how's your son doing? Well, you know, we're still believing God. That, you know, he's coming around. You know, we just believe that he's serving the Lord. You know, well, I tell you what, that boy ain't never going to change, is he? I don't want you speaking that over my family or anybody else's family. The problem is, there's some of you in here, you've spoken those things over people. Somebody speaks that over your child, you ought to punch them flat in the nose. Now, I'm just making that part of it up. figuratively speaking, or better yet, maybe in the mouth. Give them a fat lip so they can't confess that stuff anymore. Now, don't go out and start hitting people. Pastor Martin said, I could punch you out. No. What is God's will? For all to be saved. And then you turn right around, a brother or sister in Christ, and speaks, pours out foolishness. Now you're a wicked fool. You were wicked before, now you're a wicked fool. God says so right here in His Word. As a Christian, you're not supposed to be doing this. Look over in verse 4. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. In other words, God has said, to paraphrase what we've learned so far today, God has said, my children are supposed to be speaking those things of my word. But the moment they start speaking those things which contradict my word, there has now become a breach in the spirit. Meaning you have breached or broken a spiritual fellowship with God. Because one thing God is not going to do is look at you and tell you how stupid you are. He's not going to tell you you're too dumb to figure out how to use a computer. God's not going to say that. Well, you know how I am, Brother Martin. I'm just so dumb. I just can't figure these things out. Well, then get away from me and go be dumb someplace else. I want to be around counselors, smart people, people that at least know how to confess the Word of God into their lives and know that confessing the Word of God will bring God's Word results. If you want to be stupid, go crawl in a corner somewhere and be stupid. Suck your thumb for a while. Feel sorry for yourself. You know that phrase, misery loves company? I'm telling you, man, it's true. Because you're going to get fools who get together with fools and speak their wickedness over each other's life. And then walk away and feel good about it? That's weird. Look at another place here in chapter 15. Look in verse 7. The lips of the wise disperse knowledge, but the heart of the foolish doth not so. Why can't the heart of the foolish disperse knowledge? It's because the heart of the foolish has rejected the Word of God being sown into their life.
Well, Brother Martin, I attend church every Sunday. Yeah, but you're rejecting the Word of God to be sown into your life. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. We've already seen this. And the sower sows the Word. I'm trying to sow the Word of God into your life. But if you walk out of here and you speak everything but, that is not my fault. It's what you breached the Spirit. And you're refusing to receive these words. Look at verse 14. The heart of him that hath understanding seeketh knowledge, but the mouth of fools feedeth on foolishness. Feedeth on foolishness. You say, what's that mean? Well, again, misery loves company. They'll find people and they'll just speak foolishness into each other's life. Well, you know, I'm just so stupid. I could never figure out how to do the computer. I know what you mean. I'm as dumb as you are, if not dumber. Well, I'll tell you what, this hip of mine, it's been, I know mine too. It's getting worse every day. I'm telling you, you with me? And just back and forth, man, back and forth. They're bathing each other in foolishness, stupidity, wickedness. Because it doesn't line up with the Word of God. And God has already said in His Word, we've already seen it, He says the people who have the mouths and the lips of knowledge and understanding, they're only going to speak that. That's what I mean. When you get around people, you listen to them long enough, you're going to know what they've sown in their hearts. You're going to know what is the abundance of their heart. You're going to know it. Well, Brother Martin, I just can't. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. I can. It's just I have to be selective in what I do. But I can. And see, so many people do this, they don't even realize they're doing it. You know why you don't realize you're doing it? It's because you're not sowing enough of the Word of God in your life. Because the more of the Word of God you sow into your life, the more the Word of God is going to begin to contradict those things which contradict the Word of God. And out of the abundance of the heart, you're going to start speaking those things you can do. Look over in Proverbs chapter 16. Verse 27. An ungodly man diggeth up evil, and in his lips there is a burning fire. A froward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth chief friends. What you don't need are people. Dig up evil. Dig up evil. You've got people that are going to dig up stuff. You ever been around people? Listen. I know the answer is yes.
So let me rephrase this. It won't be a question. It'll be a statement. You know those people you've been around? Every time you're with them, they keep bringing up the stories from the past, the bad stuff. The bad stuff. Maybe not every time you're with them, every third or fifth time. Or if the conversation, you know, weaves its way over to a particular area, here, you know what they're going to do? You don't even have to ask them. You don't have to look. Are you going to tell me that stupid story about what happened 5 years ago? You just have to sit there and wait. Here it comes. Blah. And they start speaking that stuff. And you know, on the inside, we get tired of hearing the same old story. But you need to understand from God's perspective, it is more than just hearing the same old story. It is a matter of a fool speaking foolishness into your life. Here in Proverbs chapter 18, or 17, look in verse 9 again. Or look in verse 9. He that covereth a transgression seeketh love, but he that repeateth the matter separateth very friends. You've got people, it's weird. It's like, man, they have no clue. But what they're actually doing is speaking division within a church when they talk.
Well, I just don't know what's wrong with Brother Jones. You know, he just don't seem to do nothing. He don't seem to care about nothing. He don't care.
Well, you get around somebody that maybe is weak in spirit and they hear that. And you know what's happened? Bam! Immediately they have the belief that Brother Jones is a loser. All because somebody is speaking foolishness. Is that what God is speaking over Brother Jones? God knows what Brother Jones is doing. But if you go to God and you say, God, we need to talk about Brother Jones. God's going to say, well, he's my child, washed in the blood, filled with the Holy Spirit. I love him with a love that will never end. I've forgiven him for every iniquity. Now what's the problem?
He doesn't seem to know who you are.
Oh, he knows who I am. I know who he is. Oh, by the way, I know who you are too. You don't need to be around people that all they seem to want to do is share prayer requests.
We need to pray for Brother Jones. Oh, he did, you know, okay, let's pray for Brother Jones.
But then the next 25, 30 minutes, all they do is talk about Brother Jones. That's not a prayer request. That's division. That's filth. That's wickedness. That's foolishness. Gossip. You don't need that. Yeah, we, you know, the Bible talks about praying for each other. And the Bible does talk about, you know, sharing things and so forth. But the attitude of heart differentiates between a prayer request and all this junk. Look in Proverbs chapter 18. Verse 6. A fool's lips enter into contention and his mouth calleth for strokes. In other words, he needs to be whooped because of what he's saying. His mouth calleth for strokes. But he's so stupid what he's saying. God says, turn him over your knee and whoop on him for a while. Figuratively speaking. Verse 7. A fool's mouth is his destruction. And his lips are the snare of his soul. The words of a talebearer are as wounds. They go down into the innermost parts of the belly. And see, here's the thing. We think, that's right, those poor fools, they shouldn't speak like that. But when you have entertained them and you make them a part of your life, you need to understand they are speaking this destruction into your life. You don't understand the damage this is doing. God's trying to get this across to us. And we're talking about the body of Christ. Look here in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. When these people speak this foolishness, they're speaking death. Do you want people speaking death into you? Do you want them sowing death into your life? And here's the thing. Some of the people that do this, these foolish people he's describing here, these wicked people, they are some of the nicest people you'll ever want to be around. They give you this shirt off their back, as they say. But the abundance of their heart is not the things of God. So when they speak, you know, you got kids that are struggling, but the worst thing you can do is start speaking death over their life. He's never going to be anything. I can't find a job nowhere. I'm just never going to make it. You know, I've known people, man, if you just sneeze in front of them, they've got you in the hospital with pneumonia. Oh, you coming down with it? No, I'm just blowing stuff all over the place. You know, got a little pepper up my nose. Everything's cool. Well, I don't know. My Uncle Fred, he sneezed like that once. 6 months later, he did. You sure you ain't got it? Trust me, I ain't got it. That's a bit of an exaggeration. Half of it is an exaggeration. Half of it's not. Proverbs 21. And here in chapter 21, take a look at verse 23. Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. And the opposite is, the people who don't keep their mouth and tongue, they're speaking troubles into your life. You know, go back and read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John sometime and take a look at the way Jesus spoke over people. The only time that he got contentious was with those hypocrite Pharisees and religious leaders. But look how he spoke over people. That lady that was caught in the act of adultery, he never once called her an adulteress. Not once. That Samaritan woman, he never called her a loser of a Samaritan, like the rest of the Jews. He spoke life into her life. He spoke life into that woman that was caught in the act of adultery. Look here in Proverbs chapter 22, verse 5. Thorns and snares are in the way of the froward. He that doth keep his soul shall be far from them. So, all right, remember we talked about the froward mouth? Snares and thorns are in the way of the froward. When he speaks these things, he's speaking snares and thorns into your life. When he speaks these things, he's bringing destruction into your life. Get a hold of this. Listen, this may be a hard thing for some of you to grab a hold of, but there are some folks that are married to the wicked, foolish, froward person. You're married to him, and you know it. And there's some of you in here. When I say in here, I'm talking about anybody listening to this. This room, internet, you know, hear it later on. As this message is going on, I'm telling you, I know by the Spirit that there are some of you, God is revealing to you that you are this foolish, wicked, froward person because of what you've been speaking. And God's trying to deal with you about this because you are speaking destruction into your own life and into the lives of others. And I'm telling you right now, God is not pleased with this and He is not going to bless it. Look at another place here in Proverbs. Proverbs 26. Now look here in verse 11. As a dog returneth to his vomit, so a fool returneth to his folly. Now, this verse brings me to the vision that I had that led to this entire message. I just don't remember exactly where I was. I don't even remember what I was praying about or reading or thinking. I don't remember. But here's what I remember. The Lord showed me, it was this building, location, this property. And there were two people standing outside the front door on the sidewalk, right along the front of the building, and they were talking. And the one person is the fool, froward, wicked person that God is describing here. Now, they're all Christians, okay? And the other person was not, but they were standing there listening. And the person that was speaking all of this stuff that contradicts the standards of God, the Word of God. And as they were speaking, it was like, I'm above this, and I'm looking down, and I'm seeing this happen. It was absolutely gross. There's not an English word that I could use to describe how disgusting this was. As this person is speaking, this brown fluid was coming out of their mouth and covering that other person. You say, well, what was the brown fluid? Use your imagination. I'm not trying to be funny. I'm serious. As they kept speaking, it was so, so sickeningly gross. This stuff just kept coming out of the mouth, and that person just standing there listening, and it's just covering them. This filth is just completely covering them. It was like the Lord was saying, this is what I see. when my children start speaking these things that contradict my word and speak them into the lives of other people. You don't realize it. In the natural, you don't see it. In the natural, you don't feel it. But in the realm of the spirit, if you will, these people are covering you with filth. Absolute, pure filth. Because the only thing God wants coming out of our mouth that we've already seen in Scripture is anything and everything that lines up with the structure of His Word. When you start talking about how stupid, how dumb, how sick, how no good, how lousy, how can't, how won't, how never. When you start complaining, there are people, listen, seriously, I have learned over the years that there are some people you do not ask them, how are you? You say hi. You know, hi Fred. But you don't say, hi Fred, how are you? Because they will tell you how they are. And they will tell you how lousy everything is. They will begin spewing the filth of their life, their husband, spouse, you know, husband or wife, their kids, their parents, their job, their boss. They will just unload on you. Completely unload on you. You guys have been there, haven't you? And there are some people I know. I mean, as I stand here, there are some people I know. I will not ask them, how are you? I will not ask them, how are things going? I will say hi, and I leave it at that. Because I know if I ask anything about their life situation, I will not hear anything uplifting. I will not hear anything positive. I will only hear, there are people that have been in prayer lines. Here in other churches, that I've witnessed this. And the person's, you know, the minister is getting ready to pray for them. And instead of saying something like, well, you know, I'm battling, you know, arthritis in my ankle, or I don't know, just whatever it would be. Man, they just go on and on and on. And they'll tell you how, you know, grandma died of this, and how that my Aunt Susie, you know, she's the same thing. And then it's just on, and pretty soon you forget exactly, you know, why am I even here? I am not making this up. They just go on, and the whole time, they're just releasing all that filth. You say, well, Brother Martin, how are you supposed to pray for people if they don't tell you what to pray for? It's very simple. You just stand up and say, well, you know, the doctor told me that, you know, I've got an infection in my, I don't know, just pick something. Okay, well, let's pray. In Jesus' name, you know, infection goes. You know how easy that is? I don't need to see your x-rays.
Here, Brother Martin, look at this right here. See that? Yeah, see a little bump right there? That thing is this.
I don't need to see your x-rays. I don't need to hear the medical report. I don't need to hear how Aunt Susie died from it 10 years ago. I don't need to hear that. I'm not praying for them. I'm praying for you. Or if you want me to pray for somebody else, I'll pray for them too. But I don't need their medical history. I don't need their life history. I don't know all the drugs they've been taking, all the beer they've been drinking. I don't need to know this. You know what I need to know? Just, why are you here? You're not here for all that other stuff. You're here for a specific person or purpose. You say, well, now you got me afraid to come up and ask for prayer. Why should you be afraid to come up and ask for prayer? Brother Martin, would you please pray for my son and daughter-in-law? I mean, Satan's fighting them hard, and they've been having a lot of struggles lately. It doesn't look good. But, you know, would you pray with me? Sure. In Jesus' name, Satan, you know, you stop this and so forth. I don't need to know all the arguments they've had over the last 10 years. Because, see, when people, and it's like folks don't understand, when you're doing that, you're not helping anything. You are speaking a reinforcement of all that is wrong. And the only thing that God is going to speak over you is His Word. So if I'm going to represent Him, I need to speak His Word over you. Now look over in Job chapter 38. This is kind of how God looks at it. When He's up in heaven and these kind of things are going on. Job 38, look here at verse 2. Who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? And that is exactly what these foolish people are doing. They are darkening counsel. It's almost, you know, here you are, you're trying to live your life before God, you're trying to sow the word of God and so on and so forth and become everything that God wants you to become. And then here come these foolish people, here come these wicked people, here come these froward people. And they're speaking all this and speaking all, and God's up in heaven. He looks down and he sees this and he's saying, who is this that is darkening counsel? In other words, their words are trying to overshadow godly counsel that he wants released into our lives. And you need to understand, when you tolerate this, now I know that some, when you tolerate this, when you entertain it, you are allowing people to darken the counsel of God in your life. Because they are speaking to you without knowledge.
Well, that Brother Martin, I tell you, that sermon he preached the other week, I just don't agree with that. I mean, that sermon, I mean, let me tell you what I think about all that.
Well, help me understand then, you know, if you don't like what he preached, you know, what have you seen in Scripture that contradicts what he preached?
Well, you know, I've always heard, humma, blah, blah, et cetera, rama, rama, rama.
Okay, yeah, but what have you seen in the Word of God that contradicts what he said?
Well, you know, I've always been taught that human harm won't end around around Ram Lam and Yehuda, man.
Spew, spew, spew. Because there's nothing being said that lines up with the Word of God. You know what you need to do? What do you think God's doing at this point when people do that kind of stuff? Do you think He's saying, hey, this is good, come here. Guys, listen to this. Son, lean over here. Catch this. You're not entertaining God at all. And he is not entertaining what you're saying, and he is not standing in agreement with it, period. Look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15. Look here in verse 33. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. That phrase, good manners, it means what it means, but it's a broader meaning than just, you know, don't wipe your mouth with your sleeve. Good manners, okay? It's talking about, it's making reference to a lifestyle that is mannerly before God, if that makes sense. And he's saying, evil corruption or evil communications corrupt it. In other words, if you continue to allow evil communication to be sown into your heart, eventually it is going to corrupt the Word of God. Who is this that darkeneth counsel with words without wisdom? Now, somebody might say, yeah, but Brother Martin, you know, how do you deal with this? Look back over in Proverbs 14. Now again, we're looking at God's standards, not my personal theology. But if I embrace it, then it becomes my personal theology. Proverbs 14, verse 7. Go from the presence of a foolish man when thou perceivest not in him the lips of knowledge. Go from the presence. Now here's what I do, okay? When I'm around people like that, one of the first things I do is wait for them to take a breath, and then I try to change the subject. And I try to do it without a way that sounds obvious. In other words, I don't look at them and say, I'm sick and tired of hearing this garbage. Let's talk about something else. Quit spewing that filth on me. Quit soiling me. I try to change the subject. And if I can't seem to get the subject changed, I wait for an opportunity. And then I somehow, some way, excuse myself. But I will ask God. I mean, there are times where I've actually been speaking to God on the inside. God, I don't want to hear this. You know, God, please help put an end to this conversation now. I don't want to hear another word about this. I don't want to hear it. Or help me get away from this. Help me break away. Help me. And right then, this may sound funny to some people, but right then I'm really glad if I have to go to the bathroom. Because I got to go to the restroom. And I ain't coming back. I don't tell them that. Look in Proverbs 27. Verse 17, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. You need to learn how to be iron so that when you're around your friends, you are speaking that which sharpens them spiritually. You don't need to be rusty old steel or something. You need to be iron. Sharpen each other. Edify each other with the words of God. If there's an issue, now there are some people, you know, I'll let them know, look, I'm fighting a battle against, you know, what, or I'm winning the victory over, you know, such and such kind of physical, whatever, you know. You've been around people, okay, here's how we justify a lot of this stuff. Well, they just needed someone to listen to them. They just needed to talk to somebody. Now listen, I understand that there, you know, sometimes, now listen to this, the emotions can become overwhelming and we have this feeling, I just need to talk to somebody. Basically what you're saying is I need to unload on somebody. Well, I feel a lot better since we talked. Yeah, but we haven't resolved the issue. What is it that is in you that makes you feel better because you spewed all this filth into my life? You've lost your focus, and the abundance of your heart is not the word of... Now listen to this. Boy, this is the part that gives me even more trouble. When the abundance of your heart is the word of God, you're going to know how to battle the emotions that are trying to overwhelm you and lead you to the place of vomiting all this vile stuff into people's lives. It's not wrong to sit down and talk to somebody. You understand what I'm saying? But it's one thing to share a problem out of the context of the victory that we have in Christ. It's another thing to share a problem like there's no victory at all. And it's the people that talk like there's no victory. The people that just continue to reinforce the things that Satan wants reinforced in your life. There's a bunch of people in here, you're fighting physical battles. Well, okay, praise God. You know, not praise God, you're fighting a physical battle. What I'm saying is, praise God we got the answer. In other words, okay, well, my son was diagnosed with pink eye, or, you know, I've got this, the doctor said I've got a kidney infection. Okay, well, let's pray for it. But other people, the opposite of that, again, it's when people, they are confessing their kidney infection. You see what I mean? They're laying claim to it. Well, you know, I've just got this lousy kidney infection. It won't go away. Well, what good is it if I pray for you? Because if I pray for you, you're going to walk around and tell everybody, well, I just hope it leaves. Then why'd you have me pray for you in the first place? Because you don't believe my prayer is going to do you any good. Because you're still hoping it's going to, instead of saying, praise God, I'm healed in Jesus' name. Yeah, okay, you're still feeling discomfort physically, but I'm healed in Jesus' name. Okay, let me put it to you like this. And don't anybody raise your hand. But can any of you in here ever remember one time where I have ever sat down with you and unloaded? Ever. In private, over a dinner, anything, any situation. Can any of you ever remember? I can tell you right now, I never have. You know why? Because I know it does you no benefit, it does me no benefit. What I want to speak is the victory that I have in Jesus Christ. I do not ignore situations, but I will speak God's word over those situations and I will declare my victory. Sure, there are battles. Jesus said, I mean, the Bible reveals that we'll have these battles. Look over in Isaiah 51. The sower sows the word. You are supposed to be around people who are going to sow the word of God in your life. In Isaiah 51, verse 16, God says, and I have put my words in thy mouth, and I have covered thee in the shadow of mine hand. Now look here, look what he says. That I may plant the heavens and lay the foundations of the earth and say unto Zion, thou art my people. Now what's God saying here? What's the imagery here? God is saying, look, here's what I want to do. I'm going to plant the heavens. I'm going to lay the foundations of the earth. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to put my words in your mouth. Why would you put your words in my mouth? Because I want you speaking my words. And when you speak my word, I can establish my will. I want you speaking my words. And there are a lot of people that have come to me and they've unloaded on me. And you know what? It ends right there. I do not go to somebody else and repeat what you just told me, because all I'm going to do is spread this stuff, and I'm not going to be helping God establish His will in your life. God says, I put my words in your mouth so I can establish my will and my victory. I can establish everything that I have decreed. This is what I want you speaking. And if I'm speaking that, then and I speak it over you, you know what? It's going to help God work in your life. Because if I speak defeat over your life, God's not going to work with that defeat. Look over in Isaiah 59, verse 21. Now, look at this. As for me, God is saying, now this is how I see it. This is my perspective from my throne. As for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord. My spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth, shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forever. This is how God sees it. God says, now listen, train up a child the way he should go, in the end he won't depart from it. God says, what you're supposed to do is fill your home with the atmosphere of my words when you speak. And a lot of parents can't figure out how come the kids are turning out so lousy. Have you ever considered the fact that in the home you have released vile, filth, and garbage into the atmosphere of the home by virtue of what you're speaking? Because you keep confessing that which is wrong, confessing that which contradicts the Word of God. And God is saying, this is not the way it's supposed to be. God says, from my perspective on my throne, this is the way it's supposed to be. I will put my words in your mouth. You speak my words. And in doing so, the only thing that's going to come out of your mouth will be my words, my will, my standards, and so forth. And you will be sowing that into the life of your seed. They will be raised to only speak those things of God. Does that mean that you will be controlling their will? No. They can still get goofy if they choose to get goofy because they have a free will to exercise. But God is saying, this is the standard that I want to see done. This is what I want to see accomplished. One of the worst things in the world you can do is reinforce strife with your words. You put an end to it. You say, what am I supposed to do? Everybody in my life, it's like what you're talking about. Boy, we just learned a lot about you, didn't we? Listen, you know what you've done? You have willingly chosen to allow froward people into your life, and you have done nothing about it. Well, yeah, but you know what you need to do? Seriously. You listen to how people talk. Ask them how they're doing. Ask them, how's your son, your daughter? Ask them, how's your husband? Ask them some of these loaded questions. Listen to what people say. Listen to how they speak. And when you find people, praise God, I know, the daughter wasn't here at church today, but, we're continuing to speak the word of God over her, and we're still believing that, she is going to be the mighty woman of God. Or, however people say it, you know what I'm saying? They said, yeah, I know, she probably hung over this morning, half drunk, half sober, who knows what's going on today. You listen to how people talk. Just pay very close attention to what they speak. Now, I'm not talking about joking and things like that. I'm talking about the conversation. And when you find people whose speech lines up with God, those are the people you need to hang around with. Those are the people you need to invite to lunch. If you can't pay for it, just tell, Dutch, but, I'm going down, so you want to go with me? You know why? Because those are people you can trust. They will speak life into your life, health into your life, victory into your life. And they're not going to sit there and bellyache about everything that's wrong. They're not going to sit there and continue to reinforce bad behavior. They're not going to continue to sow junk into your life. They will sow only that which is of God. They will uplift you. They will encourage you. They may even pray for you. These are the people you need to hang around. And the people that don't seem to talk like that, and you happen to be in those situations, just do what I said. Just, pray. God, help me understand how to end this conversation. God, what do I say? God, how do I change this subject? God, what do I... I don't care if you have to bring up the football game last night. I don't care if you have to bring up the baseball game. It bring up the cartoons. I'd rather talk about, Bugs Bunny and Roadrunner. I'm serious. God will give you wisdom in situations like that. And I'm telling you, some people, pretty soon they're going to catch on that you're not going to... The Bible talks about, don't answer a fool in his foolishness or he'll think he's wise. Don't agree with him.
Ain't nothing going wrong in my life. Everything's wrong in my life. Ain't nothing going right.
Well, man, I'm sorry. Glad I ain't married to you. Now, don't say that. Well, praise God. I thank God that we can trust Him. And listen, you need to understand some people, I don't know if they'll ever change. And because unless they start sowing the Word of God near their heart and it becomes the abundance of their heart, well, I don't think we should expect them to change. Because there's nothing in there to bring about the change. Now, I know that God has dealt with some people during this message. You're either here, you're watching, you're listening. God has dealt with you about what you speak. Now, here's the thing. You can say, all right, from now on, I'm only going to say good things. Hallelujah. And so, next time you talk with somebody, well, how are things going? Oh, let me tell ooh, wait, Pastor Friedman.
Everything's great. Hallelujah. Yep, walking in victory. That's me. Praise God.
But it's only going to be a while that you're going to be able to control that. Because it's not the abundance of your heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So you better surround yourself with godly counselors, as Scripture says it. You better input godly stuff for that to become the abundance of your heart, so that what you speak lines up with what He has declared, that you're in harmony with Him. These are the kind of people that God works with. Those that speak that way.
So, Brother Martin, is that why you never say hi to me?
No. I don't say hi to you because I don't like you, praise God.
Oh, no. I'm joking.